1 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone build on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Let us pray. Father, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight and available with clarity to your people. To the end, God, that we would be made doers of the word and not hearers only. Take preparation and transform it into preaching by your power, that we who have gathered, Lord, would see you more clearly, that we would love you more dearly, that we would follow you more nearly. We who have gathered confess that we need your word, God. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. In Jesus' name, amen. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone build on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Well, it's Labor Day weekend, y'all. And while we pause at the end of summer to think about working and labor, I thought we'd take a look at what the Word of God has to say to us on the subject. Throughout the New Testament, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are called to work. Jesus himself commissions us to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. But proclamation is more than just talking. To proclaim the gospel is to engage in action and in activity that makes the rule of God an ever-inbreaking reality in the present, in the here and now. For believers, the proclamation of our faith is done through our work. Faith without works is dead. The gospel calls us to a living, working, practical faith. We proclaim the gospel by how we live in the world. You see, being a Christian, working for the cause of Christ, is not just talking a good game. Being a Christian is about doing the work. It's a matter of orthopraxy and not mere orthodoxy. Indeed, it is the work of the people of God that distinguishes us from the world. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25 that his true followers give food to the hungry and water to the thirsty. That his true followers clothe those without adequate clothing and visit those who are sick and in prison. We are called to work, to labor in the kingdom of God by carrying out the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul uses farming and construction, two types of labor with which those in Corinth would have been familiar. Paul uses them as metaphors to remind us and to exhort us to labor in the kingdom. In our focal text, verses 11 through 13, Paul compares Christian labor to building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Paul asks us to see the work to which we have been called in terms of building on the foundation that Jesus has himself laid for us. We believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are called to build, to work for the glory of God. Paul lays it out for us in this fashion. We begin at the foundation. We build because that is our assignment. We must carefully choose the material with which we build. And we ought to keep in mind that there will be an evaluation of what we build. Foundation, assignment, material, evaluation. F, A, M, E. Foundation, assignment, material, evaluation. As a means of capturing the lesson of this text, let me suggest that kingdom work brings fame. F-A-M-E. Foundation, assignment, material, evaluation. Kingdom work brings fame, not fame for us, the workers, but fame to God's name. In and through kingdom work, we bring fame to our God. By building on the foundation, we make the name of the Lord Jesus Christ great. We are called, you and I. We are called through considerations of the foundation, the assignment, the choosing of materials, and the promise of an evaluation. We are called to fame, called to work. This week, I want to look at the foundation and the assignment. That's what's presented to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, and the opening part of verse 12. Next week, we'll look at the materials available to us for use in our work, and we'll look at God's plan for evaluating the labor to which we've been called. But for our time together this morning, let's work through the lesson that Paul offers as he writes, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone build on this foundation." Jesus Christ is the foundation, and the assignment given to us, to you and to me, is to build. Join me in the exploration of the text. Let's go to work. As Paul sets up the construction metaphor that represents the work to which each of us has been called, Paul begins by talking about the foundation. Here again, the words of Scripture, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus is the foundation upon which all of our labor in the kingdom must rest. Paul notes that this foundation is already in place and that it's already complete. No other foundation can be laid, nor does anything need to be added to the foundation, because Jesus has already laid it, and in fact, Jesus is that foundation. Jesus is the solid, all-sufficient foundation upon which the work that we do must be built. To grasp the significance of Paul's statement and imagery, one must understand how a foundation functions. The foundation of a building, any building, has two principal functions. Number one, the foundation supports the building itself. And number two, the foundation of a building sets the pattern for that building. Foundation has got to be sturdy enough. It's got to be solid enough to hold the building up. That foundation has got to be able to handle the weight of the building without shifting or sinking. If the foundation shifts over time, that building will experience stresses in its walls, stresses which will cause the building to fall down. Without a solid, stable foundation, the building which represents the work to which we have been called, that building, that work will fall down. That's why Jesus Christ is the only sufficient foundation. Jesus Christ is God, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. We can rely on Jesus Christ as the foundation upon which we build. For when we build on Jesus, on His truth, on His love, on His righteousness, on His mercy, on His grace, on His loving kindness, when we build on Jesus, there's no shifting. Jesus is the solid rock. All other foundations are as sinking sand because they shift with political winds. They'll shift with considerations of expediency and popularity, but Jesus, our foundation, Jesus does not change. His truth endures forever. His mercy is everlasting. Love never fails. Our foundation never changes. Building on Jesus ensures that what we build, the work to which we've been called by God, that it will stand. You may recall Jesus' parable shared over in Matthew chapter 7. Where Jesus admonishes His followers to be wise and to build upon the rock. You see, when we build upon the rock, rains descend and flood waters will rise, winds will blow and beat on the building, but the building can stand because it's on a strong foundation. Our work, our service in the kingdom must be built on Jesus. Jesus is the only foundation strong enough, steady enough, sure enough for us to build on. But providing strength and stability to a building is not the only thing that a foundation offers. As importantly, the foundation of a building also determines the pattern for that building. A building is upheld from the foundation. That means that the foundation must have reinforcements below for the structure that is to be built above. Watch this now. The load-bearing walls of a building have got to transfer the load down through the structure and ultimately onto that foundation. That's why the pattern in the foundation has got to be followed as one builds upon it. That means, y'all, that you can't build inside of the foundation and you can't build outside of the foundation. No, you've got to build on the foundation, following the established pattern. You see, if the building is too small, if it's too little for the foundation, the building will fall because it's too small. Listen, racism and sexism and xenophobia and hatred will make what you try to build too small. Jesus is too big of a foundation for us to limit what we build, to limit our work in the kingdom based upon prejudices that deny the humanity of others. That's what's wrong with the work of radicalized white American evangelicalism. Its work is too small for the foundation that is Jesus. Listen, you can't build on the foundation of Jesus and hate your neighbor because she's a different race or religion, or because her family structure doesn't look like yours. No, that's too small for Jesus. Your hatred, your racism is too small for the foundation that's Jesus. And if you build on a foundation and your building is too small, that building is gonna fall. Ask Jerry Falwell Jr. The building will fall because it's too small. No, we are called to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, a foundation that's big enough to look beyond our faults and see our need, to look beyond all of humanity's faults and to see all of humanity's needs. But listen, the same danger of a collapsed building, that same danger obtains when we try to build beyond the foundation that is Jesus. When we build on things that Jesus' life and teachings do not support, that building is likewise destined to fall, because the things that are built beyond the foundation of Jesus, they're unsupported. Listen, you can't put an 800 by 800 foot building on a foundation that is 600 by 600 feet. That 200 foot overhang will cause whatever is not supported to fail. And it'll pull the rest of the building down with it. Why? Because it didn't follow the pattern. My brothers and my sisters, we've got to follow the pattern. Yes, even the pattern of Jesus Christ has limits. Jesus loves the sinner, but hates the sin. We must figure out a means by which we can love the sinner and yet not embrace the sin. And I'm not talking about their stuff. I'm talking about my stuff. That I can't get so complacent with my own stuff that I try to excuse my wrong as being right. No, I've got to build on the foundation. What did Jesus do? That's what we're called to do. What did Jesus say? That's what we're called to say, how did Jesus live? To try to expand the gospel beyond what Jesus has laid for us puts the building that we are working on in danger. The building will fall if the building extends beyond the pattern that Jesus has given to us. Wrong is wrong, even when people that you like are engaged in that wrong. I know it's not popular, but the church has got to be vigilant. Vigilant in loving the sinner, our individual selves included, and directing the sinner to the only one who can help. Yes, my brothers and my sisters, sinners are welcome in the kingdom. This is the place to come with our sin issues. But come as you are should not be interpreted to mean remain as you are. We've got to be careful not to overstep the limits of the foundation that Jesus laid. Jesus never told us that we have the power to heal all sickness. Anybody with the power to heal all sickness needs to go to Washington Hospital Center and run down to the cancer ward for starters, and then drop by the COVID ward at Inova and go to work. Jesus never said that we had power to heal all sicknesses. And some people get sick and die and lose faith in God because we lied to them. The building fell, but not because of the foundation, but because we tried to build beyond it. The Bible never said that you can name it and claim it and blab it and grab it and call it and haul it. Only God calls things that are not as though they were. Now, yes, God might call a miracle into existence, but if I say it after God has said it, I'm not saying it. I'm just repeating it. I'm no different than a parrot. Nobody thinks that a parrot is talking. A parrot has no power. The parrot just repeats what it's heard. Yes, I might repeat what God said. I can repeat what God has said. But when God brings it to pass, it's not because I repeated it. It's because God said it. And you got to be careful, because some of us are building beyond the foundation that Jesus left. And when the building falls, it takes people and their faith with it, because they went to speaking into the atmosphere and nothing changed. Because what they were talking about is not what God was talking about. We must be careful that we don't try to build beyond the foundation that Jesus has laid, building a theology outside the bounds of what Jesus has laid, means that our theology will fail. It's not a failure of God. It's a failure of our building. The church cannot afford to build beyond the foundation that is Jesus. We must build on Jesus. We must build to the size of the foundation, and that means we've got to know what the foundation is. We've got to know Jesus. Not blonde-haired, blue-eyed, wrapped in an American flag, waving a Benjamin for a rattler, Jesus, but Jesus, the Son of God. The Son of God who hung out with fishermen and prostitutes and tax collectors and showed them that the Lord loved and cared for them. Cared so much that he wouldn't let them stay as they were, but called them out of darkness into the marvelous light We've got to know this foundation that's Jesus Emmanuel. God with us. God with us who makes all things possible. We've got to know this Jesus, this pattern setting foundation upon which we must build. Here's the question. What does the foundation look like? I believe the answer to the question is most clearly set out for us over in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 and 19, where Jesus proclaims his mission and his message in these terms. Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." This, my brothers and my sisters, is the foundation upon which we've been called to build, a foundation that is first and foremost godly, a foundation that reflects the holy and active presence of God. That's why Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me." Your foundation has got to be based in the holy and active presence of God. We've got to build on the foundation that is Jesus. Jesus who loves, Jesus who saves, Jesus who heals, Jesus who sets free, Jesus who leads us in truth and righteousness, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus, the way to God, Jesus, the truth about God, Jesus, the example of what it means to have life in God. That's the foundation. This is the work to which we've been called to build on that foundation. So then how do we accomplish this work? As a practical matter, I think a brief foray into the world of physics will help us round out this sermonic presentation and get us ready for next week's continuation. Are you ready? Here it is. Physics teaches us that work may be defined as force over distance. Force multiplied by distance. In order to do work, you've got to exert a force over a particular distance. The greater the force, the greater the work done. The greater the distance, the greater the work done. And if either the force or the distance is zero, no work is done. As followers of Christ, we are called, we are commissioned to work. Our assignment is to exert a divine force over a divinely determined distance. Listen, the divine force that we exert is the dunamis power of the Holy Ghost. And that divinely determined distance over which we work is destiny. Whatever it is that God has determined for us to do, that's the distance over which we work. See, distance is not based on inches or meters or yards, nor is it calculated as a function of time measured in hours or days or years. Rather, the divinely determined distance over which we work is based on accomplishing that which God has uniquely called and qualified us to do. Listen, every believer has access to the dunamis power of the Holy Ghost. Every believer has the ability given to us by God to do work. The only question is what we will do with the destiny God offers. How will we apply that force over the divinely determined distance known as destiny. My brothers and my sisters, there's work to be done. The question for each of us individually and collectively is whether we will move in accordance with the word and the will and the way of God to fulfill the call that God has placed on our lives. That's how we build. Each of us is called to work, but let's be clear, all of the work that is done in the kingdom is not the same. There are many different kinds of work in the kingdom. Paul talks about some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. In another passage of scripture, Paul talks about having gifts of knowledge or healing, exhortation or administration. You see, it is the use of these gifts given to us by the Holy Ghost which determines whether or not we actually do the work. Our gifting directs our destiny. God gifts us in accordance with the destiny that God has ordained for us. But notice, while each of us has access to the same force in the same amount, because all of us who confess Jesus as Lord have the same Holy Ghost. Nobody has more Holy Ghost than anybody else. It's the same Holy Ghost, one anointing. And yet not all of us do the same amount of work. Some of us do more work than others because the divinely determined distance, our destiny, is different. For example, as a pastor and denominational leader, I'm called to do more than a person who sings in the choir. But watch this. That doesn't mean that my work is more important than the choir members, or more important than the church sexton, or more important than the missionary or the usher. No, my work is just different. It's different because I have a different set of gifts to be applied over a different distance. You don't need an usher's gift to serve in the trustee ministry. But the Bible reminds us that no one's work is more important than any other person's work, because we all work on the same team for the same purpose, for the building up of the body and for the perfecting of the saints. All of the work that we do is done for one purpose. To use the words of Raymond Raspberry, some build great cathedrals, large or small. Others build skyscrapers, grand and tall, but regardless of our work, it ought to be kingdom-oriented, kingdom-focused. That means that we do the work by following the dictates and the mandates of God. We must work. We must exert the force of the Holy Ghost over the divinely determined distance of destiny in the way that God says. That means not my will, but thy will be done. That's got to be the orientation of our work. Whatever my destiny is, God, I'll do what you say. We've got to work like Jesus worked. Jesus is both the foundation upon which we build, and Jesus is the model by which we work. The Bible says Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. And the summary of Jesus' work, according to Acts 10:38, is that he went about doing good. Jesus chose to follow God's plan for his life, working in the direction and after the manner that the Father had divinely determined for Jesus. How ought we work? How do we go about doing good? Look again at Luke 4 and 18. We got to embrace work that preaches and heals, that proclaims and delivers, that liberates and opens blind eyes. It's not enough to just talk a good game. We got to work a good game. It's not enough to have orthodoxy. We got to have orthopraxy. Faith without works is dead. Listen, I don't know what your gifts are, but each of us has been called to put whatever our gifts are to use. Not everyone is a preacher or a deacon or a trustee. Fact of the matter is that for most of us, that's not our calling. But all of us are called to do something. Not everyone has gifts of healing, but you might have a gift of helps. If so, here's the question, my sister, the question, my brother, are you helping where you can? If your gift is administration, are you doing administration where you can? Are you doing all that you can for the Lord and for the Lord's kingdom? That's what it means to work. It means to use the anointing on your life, the power of the Holy Ghost at work in you in order to build up the body. To work means that you're supposed to do what you can while you can. That is what Jesus did. We have the summary of Jesus' work in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus put the power of the Holy Ghost to work to accomplish his divinely determined destiny. He carried out the work in this fashion. The text says he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. What's our assignment, my brothers and my sisters? Our assignment is to follow the dictates of God. And to be obedient, to do what the Lord says, when the Lord says, in the way that the Lord says. That's how we exert the power of the Holy Ghost over the distance of our divinely determined destiny in order to accomplish our assignment. Our assignment is to do the work to which we've been called. Jesus had his work, a work which was accomplished at Calvary when he paid a debt that he did not owe, because we owed a debt that we could not pay. No, our work is not the same as Jesus's work, but our work is important because our work points the world to Jesus. We're to build on the foundation that Jesus laid. That means we've got to work like Jesus worked. Jesus received the reward for his work. Philippians 2 reminds us that because Jesus did the work, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. And the word promises that we too shall receive a reward. We'll receive a reward when we do the work to which we've been called, when we exert the force of the dunamis power of the Holy Ghost over the divinely determined distance of our destiny. The promise of the Word of God is that the Lord will say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't know about you, but I want to hear the Lord say, "Well done." I want to know that I've built on the foundation laid by Jesus and I've carried out my assignment in a way that has pleased God. Built on the foundation, not with small stuff that made my building too little and it fell down. Not with so much extra stuff that the building can't stand on the foundation because I went outside of what Jesus said. But I built on the foundation that is Jesus. Well done, Good and faithful servant. Good because you did the work. Faithful because you built on the foundation. Do the work. Do the work, my brothers and my sisters. Do the work. Serving the Lord will pay off. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. Though the pathway to glory may sometimes seem drear, you'll be happy each step of the way if you do the work. Build on the sure foundation, the foundation that is Jesus Christ. Build on the foundation. Carry out the assignment. Work is force times distance. We have the dunamis power of the Holy Ghost exerted over our divinely determined destiny. That's the assignment. Build on a sure foundation.